Many of you would remember a lot of fear and things that were happening with the Y2K before the turn of the before the year 2000. I won't go into it. Most of you know what I'm talking about. And I remember that. I just remember the apprehension, and there's a lot of build up in the news and a lot of scare about it. And it came and went, and things died down and went back to normal. And about a year and a half later, there was another event. There was an event in New York City, known today as 9/11. Most people know what that means. There was terrorist attacks in New York City, and I remember that day. I remember that day we were just sitting around and watching this whole thing unfold and wondering what's going to happen. Is this the end of the world, or what's going to happen? And there was a lot of fear in society. But to my shame this morning, I have to confess that though those were big events, they were not life-changing events for me. I went through them, life went back to normal, and I went back to normal. It didn't change me. It didn't cause me to seek God, at least not in a major way. Perhaps it did more than I realized. But I have a burden for that. I have a burden that if this whole thing were to, a week from Monday, if this whole thing would just go away and the president could just restore the economy immediately, and I just have a burden that how many people's lives would just go back to normal and really not have any lasting change in their lives. And that's a burden on my heart. Not just for everyone else, but also for me, and include myself in that. I also have a burden this morning for something else. I have a burden for, as I think of people dying. I think of people dying. We read in the news as many people dying every day, and I realize that though the focus is on the coronavirus and the people that are dying from the coronavirus, there's actually many more people dying every day from many other things than this virus. And though it's a very serious thing and people are dying from it, just because you don't have the coronavirus this morning does not ensure that you will live throughout the day. That's reality. People are dying. We live in a dying world. And so those are some of the things that I was just was on my heart this morning. And as I was contemplating on what to share, I thought of the scriptures in Hebrews chapter 11. And I'd like to share this as an encouragement, an exhortation this morning. Beginning in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 8, it's a word from the Lord here this morning, scriptures. Hebrews 11, verse 8, it's the Bible says here, by faith Abraham, when he was called out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one... and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. The title of our message this morning, I have this title from verse 10, a city which hath foundations. Last Sunday, We heard a very profound and blessed warning about what happens to the unsaved, those who are lost, those who go to hell. We heard a very profound, a very sobering warning. We realize that according to the Lord, to the words of the Lord Jesus this morning, He said that many are on that broad way that goes to hell. And this truly ought to be a concern to us this morning as people around us are dying. People, you know, I think as I recently with all of this happening, as I drive around in the community and I'm thinking, I wonder when this is all done, who will be gone? Will there be people in our community, in our local fellowship, or in our family, or who will it affect? Who will be gone? So I have a burden for that this morning. I just have a burden that we'd like to consider this morning as we considered hell last Sunday. We'd like to spend a little time considering heaven. I'd like to consider heaven this morning, a city which hath foundations. And then I have a few other things along with that I'd like to share. But here in Hebrews chapter 11, we read about a people, it says that they were, it doesn't say that here, but it seems like people that were discontent. I don't know if we should use that word, but it was a people who were not satisfied with what they had. It was a people who were looking for something that they didn't have. They were looking for a city that was more solid than the one they were living on. And I don't know what all was going on in their lives at that time, but it says here that they declared plainly that they were seeking a country, a city that had foundations, a place of surety, a place that is solid, a place that where things are fixed, where things won't change, where the future is fixed. It's not today. We live in a world that is completely changing all the time. There's no security. Nothing that is to stand on. People are grasping for foundations today. Here we read in Hebrews 11 of people that were looking for something better, some better place. It says, well, verse 16, I have many times read this verse, and it challenges me, and it speaks to me, and it's an encouragement to me. But it says here that now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. And it says that wherefore, because of this focus that they had, because of this desire that they have, because of what they're seeking after, it says, wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. What a testimony. What a testimony to the lives of people that God attests to it, that He's not ashamed of them. Not ashamed of them. They're seeking something better. They're seeking something beyond this life and beyond this world. A better country, a city that has foundations. So I'd like to bring this morning as an encouragement for us as the world is shaking. There's a fear that's gripping society. And it affects us. I know you've probably experienced it too, but I've experienced it. It affects us. It causes us to wonder what's going to happen next. Where are things going? What's going to happen to the economy? Some of us are already maybe feeling that, the effects of that in the work world, with work slowing down and losing jobs perhaps. The world is changing. You know, the world is changing. One of the task force team members that the president assigned, he made the statement. He said we should never go back to shaking hands again. Well, I don't know that will actually work, but I think for many people it probably will. For many people, so the world is changing. The world is changing. But for us this morning, for the believer, as we heard this morning, we have the Word of God, and we have a God who we have Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have the Word of God that will never change, And we're seeking a city that has foundations. A city that's immovable, unchangeable, and eternal. I think of that word eternal. A city that's eternal. Brother Solomon spoke this morning about that if the world were to stand another 1,000 years, that their society would be completely different. This country would be the establishments that are now would be gone, as establishments in the past have disappeared. And we're looking for a city, a country that is eternal. 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 Some of us know people who have already gone there, who have already gone before us. Some of us have, as we spoke of this morning, a place called heaven. There's sobering realities. When we talk about heaven, there's some sobering realities. And one of those realities is that many people, most people, when you talk to them, if they know anything, if they have any sort of Christian background, they will tell you that, well, I believe I'm going to heaven. I believe I'm going to heaven. Why wouldn't I go to heaven? Many others would say, well, I hope so. I hope so. I mean, I don't want to go to hell. I hope I would go to heaven when I die. Most people believe that there is life after death. Can I say that this morning? I don't know if that might be a little strong. I don't know if it's most people. But I believe that most people have an inner witness. Maybe they wouldn't confess it, but most people have an inner witness that there is something greater. There's some sort of accountability to our life, and something is beyond this life. Something, and that's why in the heathen tribes, we have accounts and stories of heathen tribes when the missionaries got there, and the people said, we're so glad you came to tell us how to die right. Because there's an inner witness, there are eternities in their hearts, and there's an inner witness that there's life after this. Considering heaven this morning, and it's a subject that we have some scriptures on, and we can't even begin to exhaust the few scriptures that we have. But we have just a few thoughts this morning concerning heaven that we'd like to share. We're going to look at a couple of things. One is, what are some of the attributes of heaven? And who will go there? What are some of the attributes of heaven? What's it like? If we consider what heaven is like, it will help us to understand who will be there. Secondly, we'd like to answer a question this morning. Can I go there? Can I go there? Me? Oh, that's a question, isn't it, this morning? Could I go there? Heaven is a place. Do you believe that this morning? Heaven is a place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you, that where I am, you may be also. Heaven is a place, a real place. Jesus said you ought to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Why did he say that this morning? Because heaven is a safe place. There's no moth, no thieves, no rust. That's one of the indicators of those who actually believe in heaven. They lay up treasures in heaven. Their life is heavenward. They're seeking that city that has foundation, and their life is heavenward. That's where they're going. That's their focus. Heaven is a place prepared for those who prepare to go to heaven. Do you believe that this morning? That no one is just going to stumble in. No one is just going to get there by luck or chance. Is there a seeking in my heart this morning for heaven? The beautiful home of the soul beyond this life, heaven. Am I preparing? Do I have a burden and a heart and a desire seeking a better country than the one that we live in? We're living here, but we belong somewhere else. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians, he said, our conversation is in heaven, from whence cometh the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship, that's what that word is. Our citizenship. Our passport is stamped heaven. It's that's where the citizenship is, because we belong to that king. He's our king. We belong there. A place called heaven. Heaven's been prepared for a long time. In Matthew 25, 34, it says, then shall the king say to them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world, there's been a place called heaven. So we'll look at a few pictures of heaven this morning with the little bit of time that we have here. But before we do that, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul's testimony. And we're going to look at his burden, his desire in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you want to turn to that. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Wonder this morning, how many professing Christians this morning have this testimony? It's been a challenge to my own heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know, the Apostle Paul said, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. What confidence the Apostle Paul had. But now he that hath wrought for us, hath wrought us for the selfsame thing as God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, because of this, because we have the earnest of the Spirit, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether being present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I was blessed with those verses as I read them. The Apostle Paul saying that we are confident and willing to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And the Apostle Paul, I think it's a good word for our generation. We live in a generation that has had it really nice here in this life. And there's a tendency to want to have heaven on earth, to have heaven on earth and then have heaven when we die too. And the Apostle Paul, I believe this may have been the result of trials in his life. As Brother Solly was sharing this morning, trials in life cause us to look to God and cause us to grow in the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul, I think maybe with the trials that he had in life, he looked at this life and he looked at the next life and he said, I'm willing to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. He said it would be far better. And maybe in all of these things that are happening, maybe the Lord's wanting to do that in us. That's the burden that I have, that we allow the Lord to do that in us. And to make us yearn, make us long for heaven. We're going to look at a few scenes from heaven, a few pictures from heaven. And we're turning, and I know they're very familiar, but we're going to be turning to the book of Revelation, and we'll have to do this a little bit quickly. Hopefully you can stay with me as we look at a few scriptures here. Revelation chapter 4. I'm going to read the first verse here. In Revelation 4 it says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And I would like to draw our attention to that. A door opened in heaven. A place with a door. A place with a door. A place with a place. A real place. A place with a door. John saw the door open and he looked in. But in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, I won't take time to read all of this whole passage. I'll read a few verses here. In chapter 4, verse 8, it says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and which is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. In chapter 5, verse 9, it says, and they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. As we read on there, we see that all of a sudden the angels begin to give glory, and they said, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and glory and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then it began with every creature which is under heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. But these pictures, I know that we have here words on a page. And if you spend time meditating on them and you let your imagination go and you begin to think and meditate on these things, you see a scene of worship. You see a scene, a picture where there's worship. There's worship happening. There's one who is on the throne. And there's this worship going on. There's this adoration. There's just from these beasts, these watchers, these heavenly beasts around the throne, and from the elders who are kneeling down and bowing down, and from the angels are giving worship, and then from every creature on earth is just giving worship to this one who sits on the throne. Heaven is a place of worship. There are many other scenes in the scripture that would tell us that. Heaven is a place of worship. Heaven is a place where Jesus Christ is worshipped in fullness. And there's no competition for his worship. There's no competition for worship in heaven. God is on the throne. Jesus Christ has a preeminence. He's completely unchallenged. He's unchallenged. There's no one coming, putting up a throne off to the side and trying to draw attention to away from Jesus Christ. That completely does not exist in heaven. Heaven is a place of worship. Worship that is completely in spirit and in truth. Heaven is a place of worship. May I ask you a question this morning? Am I preparing to go there? Am I preparing? Is that my heart this morning? The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, that's something that we can do today in our preparation for going to heaven. We can worship God. We can worship Jesus Christ. We can bow down before him. We have that opportunity. We have that privilege. Many profess they want to be in heaven someday. They want to go to heaven someday. But they show little interest. They show little interest in worship of God. Worship in purity and in truth, glorifying Jesus Christ, not allowing anyone to take that away from me. Not allowing any other thing in my life to take away that worship that needs to be Godward, that needs to be towards heaven. Oh, it's a challenge to me because we're here, we're real people, and we live in a real world, and there's a lot of things that compete. Worship is not just something that happens on Sunday morning. Hopefully this absence of being able to gather has been doing that in our lives. And we realize that worship's not just on Sunday morning. Worship is a lifestyle. And I'm not saying that it wasn't that before for us. Worship is a lifestyle. In heaven, it's not just on Sundays. It's not just something that happens on special occasions. Worship towards God. Worship. Oh, that may that be us this morning. May that be us as a congregation. And that's my burden for just each one of us, each one of our children, our family members. May we just learn to worship God. Or learn to worship. Worship Him that sits on the throne. The world competes for our worship. The word worship, many of you know this, the word worship is worthship. It's that which I give worth to in my life. It's that which I count worthy to give my respect and my life to. Worthy. And Jesus Christ is worthy. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, we're going to look at another scene here. Another scene from heaven, another picture. Another picture from a place called heaven that the Apostle John saw and he relates to us. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, we read this. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these that are arrayed in white robes? And whence come they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of a great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them to living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Here we have another scene. We have a picture. We have a picture of a great multitude, it says, which no man can number. An innumerable multitude. A people. People from ages past. People from generations past. There have been people in, I believe in every generation, there have been people who have sought after God and have desired a heavenly country, a beautiful place where God dwells, and they seek after that and they find it. And the Apostle John looks in this door, and it's in this scene in heaven, and he sees a great multitude worshiping God. And he notices something here. He notices that this great multitude, they are clothed in white robes. Clothed in white robes. And that should speak to us this morning. They're clothed in white robes. What's the white robe? Well, my mind goes to the story that Jesus told of the wedding feast, where there was this wedding and they invited people and people wouldn't come, so they got more people and they sent the servants out to gather in more people. And when the tables were full and the master of the house came in and he looked about and he said there was one without a wedding garment on. One that he didn't have this white robe. He didn't have that wedding garment on. And the consequences of that were devastating. The master of the house said, bind him hand and foot and cast him out in the outer darkness. We don't want to come to this place without a white robe. Do I have one? Do I have one? If not, how do I get one? We're going to talk about that later. How do I get one? How do I get a white robe? There's white robes is one of the requirements here. And I like to say, you know, I know this morning that there are many who would tell you, they would tell you, yes, I want to go to heaven. Yes, I hope I go to heaven. I want to go to heaven when I die. Surely I'll be in heaven. But they're unconcerned about what the Bible says here about white robes. They're not preparing. There's not a heart to prepare. We'll talk more about that later. It says here in verse 15, it says that, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in the temple. They serve Him day and night in the temple. I just think of that. I think of just serving God and with no competition and never getting tired and just serving God day and night. You know, you think about that and you think this morning, there's amongst those that are in heaven, there is this fervent desire. There's this desire to just please God in everything that I do. Just please God. Just please Him. God, whatever you want, you know, just serve Him day and night, instantly. You know, and I think of that, and I look about our Christianity that we're around this morning, and in many places around us, the professing Christianity, it seems that it lacks that. It lacks that element, that desire to serve God, that desire to just please God. Well, that's something we can have this morning. That's something that we can do here, preparing for heaven. Please God. Just simply desire. Have that fervent desire to please God. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Oh, may that just stir in our hearts. May we just hunger and thirst for righteousness. It goes on to say here, talking about the beauties and the glories of this place, it talks about thirst, never thirsting again. Not having the intense heat of the sun anymore. I think of when I think of intense heat, I think of being in Haiti with Brother Barry and thinking of how, you know, we need the sun here. We appreciate the sun. And in the wintertime here, why sometimes it seems like the sun's a little too far away, and we wish it would be a little warmer. And sometimes in the middle of the summer, especially if you're in Haiti, you wish the sun was just a little further away. It's a little too hot. There's not going to be any of that in heaven. The perfect temperatures, like a beautiful fall day here that we so often appreciate. Living fountains of waters. He says here that He shall lead us to living fountains of waters, and God wiping away all the tears from our eyes. Oh, bless the Lord this morning. A place called heaven. May that stir in our hearts to hunger for a place called heaven. Okay, we're going to move on here. Revelation chapter 21. We're going to look at another passage. Heaven is a place of beauty. It's a beautiful place. Revelation 21, verse 1, beginning on verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I'd like to give us this thought this morning as a warning. The Bible tells us here, and we heard about the surety of the Word of God this morning. But the Bible tells us here that the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And if we're going to set our hope and our affections on this earth, let it be known to us of a surety today that there's coming a day when it's going to pass away, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us in another place that in a new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. It'll be a holy place. It'll be a place where that will not suffer the corruption of sin that we see all around us, the effects of sin and the all that has happened in this earth of sin. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth where there'll be no more sin. The curse will be gone. Hallelujah. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He shall dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Oh, hallelujah. The former things, those will be the former things. All the trials that we face and the things that are happening in our lives and the things that we wish we could change many times. And sometimes things that we wish we could escape from and just get away from. And the Bible tells us here that the former things have passed away. They'll just be part of that. Just part of that passing away, the former things. He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, "Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, and having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I wanted to read to that verse. Seeking a city that has foundations. The Bible says here that the city has 12 foundations. Have you ever seen a building built where they put 12 foundations? Where they just dug way down and they poured a foundation and then decided to pour another foundation and another one. You know, we don't do that. But here's a city. We're seeking a city that has foundations. I wonder, you know, the Bible says that about Abraham. He was seeking a city that has foundations. You think he's satisfied? You think Abraham says, "This is a solid place to be. This is a good place to be, a city that has foundations." We'll go down to verse 22 of the same chapter. Verse 22, "And I saw no temple thereon, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in it, shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life." Verse 23 says, a place of light where there's no darkness. And I know it's talking about, I think here, the context here is physical. But the Bible tells us in 1 John, the Bible says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And I think this morning, if we want to prepare for heaven, if we want to prepare for heaven, we want to walk in the light. We want to be a people that loves the light. Transparency. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. To prepare for heaven is to walk in the light, is to be in the light. The Bible says here, the nations of them which are saved, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in it. We need to be saved this morning. We'll talk more about that later. In verse 27, it tells me there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Nothing that defiles will enter there. And I think of that this morning and to a people that profess that they want to go to heaven when they die, we ought to be concerned about the things that defile a man. The Bible tells us in Mark, I forget which chapter, that these are the things which defile a man. Evil thoughts, adulteries, murders, and the list goes on there. We ought to be concerned about the things that defile a man, because nothing that defiles was going to enter there. If the things that defile can go there, then we may as well stay here. We want to go to a place that's better than this. We're seeking a city that has foundations that's better than this. And we ought to prepare for it. We ought to cleanse ourselves from the things that defile. And we'll talk more about it, more about that later. Abomination. No abominations. Have you ever done a search in the scriptures of the things that God calls abominations? Let me give you an example. One is in Proverbs. It says that there are six things that God hates, and one is an abomination to him. Sowing discord among brethren. Nothing, none of that's going to enter there. Things that are abominable will not enter heaven. I know sometimes we think of things that are abominable as homosexuality and those things that are out there. But there are things in the scriptures that God says are abominable to him. And we ought to be concerned about cleansing ourselves from the things that are abominable. It says nothing that makes a lie, no lying in heaven, no falsehoods, no false impressions, no, you know, it's a place that Jesus Christ said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Just let it be that. Oh, we can prepare for heaven. We ought to be preparing to go to heaven. Am I preparing to go to heaven? Chapter 22 says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded a fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they have no need of candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. They shall reign forever and ever. And they shall see his face. Oh, that one that we love, that one who died on the cross for us, that one who gave his life that we might live, the one who shed his blood for us, we will see his face. Hallelujah. In heaven, we'll see his face. A pure river. The tree of life is there, yielding fruit every month. You know, we have this trouble raising fruit in our land, and it appears to us that perhaps the late frost got all the peach blossoms again, and so we just submit all that to the Lord, but it's not going to be that way in heaven. The trees just yield fruit every month, and you can just, hallelujah, the tree of life. I don't know, maybe that's all just spiritual. Am I preparing to go there? Heaven. Heaven is a spiritual place. Heaven is a place that is spiritual. It's a place, but it's spiritual. It's a place, God is a spirit, and there is spiritual worship. It's not just a place to go because I want to escape hell. It's a place that people have prepared. People that love God want to go to heaven. If you don't love God this morning, if you don't love God, if you don't love the things of God, if you don't love things that are spiritual, you won't want to be in heaven. Heaven, well, you wouldn't even be, you would maybe change quickly. I'm not sure. But the time for change is now. So am I preparing to go there zealously, fervently? Is there written over my life a clear testimony? A clear testimony. God can look down and say, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of him. I'm not ashamed of that church. They're seeking a better country. They're seeking a city that is to come. They're seeking a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I'm not ashamed of that. Let's keep our testimony clear, brothers. The glories of that place are unspeakable. The Bible tells us that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. I have a quote here that was a blessing to me. The eye of flesh is not capable of seeing, nor the ear of hearing, nor the heart of understanding heaven and its glories. But there, the eye is made capable. The eye and the ear and the heart are made capable. How else could we enjoy those things of heaven? The more perfect the sight, the more delightful will be the delightful object. The more perfect the appetite, the sweeter the food. The more musical the ear, the more pleasant the melody. And the more perfect the soul, the more joyous those days. And the more glorious those glories. Hallelujah. You know, the things that we enjoy today, are limited because our body is limited. But we'll have a new body and a new capacity. A new capacity to enjoy the glories of heaven. And they're unspeakable this morning. I won't try. They're unspeakable. There's going to be a joy in heaven. The Bible tells us that in the presence of God, there's a fullness of joy. Oh, who can tell this morning? Who can tell this morning of the fullness of joy? We have joy. We do have joy. It'll be a great joy when I get to gather with all my brothers and sisters again. It'll be a joyful day. We'll enjoy, but fullness of joy. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you find joy now in the presence of God? Do I find joy now in the presence of God? To get alone before God? To experience the quietness and the still small voice of God? Or do I let myself often be distracted and pulled away? In heaven, there's a fullness of joy, the presence of God. Heaven. Love heaven. Here's a quote. Let your heart be in it. Up, up. And visit the new land and view the fair city, the white throne and the Lamb. Run fast, for the hour is late. Heaven. Fasten your grips on Christ. Let not this clay portion of earth take up your soul. You're a child of God. Therefore, seek your Father's heritage. Send up your heart to see the dwelling house and the fair rooms of the new city. Shame on those who cry up with the world and down with conscience in heaven. I appreciate those quotes. So I have a burden this morning. I have one more burden that I'd like to share this morning. I have a burden for the soul that says, you know, that's not me. Yeah, I want to go to heaven. But in all honesty, if I want to be honest, I love this world. I'm enjoying this life. And I don't want to go to hell. I don't really worship God. I have hidden sin in my life. I have darkness that's there. What do I do? I have things in my life that have never been made right. What do I do? How can I change? What should I do? I have a burden for that this morning. I have a burden this morning that... What about the person this morning that says, I don't have peace. How do I get it? I don't have peace. I don't have any confidence. I don't have that confidence that the Apostle Paul said that we are confident and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. How do I get it? I'd like to just bring us back to this morning to the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. How do I get this peace? How do I get free? How do I get clear? Acts 3:19 says, tells us, Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. I'm convinced this morning that in the broad church spectrum, the great need of the hour, the great need is that many, many people have believed in Jesus Christ, but they have never come to a deep and thorough repentance. They've never come to a deep and thorough repentance that changes the heart. Everyone wants to be forgiven because after all, they want to go to heaven when they die. But they've never come to the place where they got on their face before God and said, God, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? What would thou have me to do? So I'd like to just share that with you this morning. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Confess your sins. Repent of them. The Bible tells us that godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. I love that verse. Not to be repented of. No one that has ever thoroughly repented of their sins and confessed them and been sorry for them has ever repented that they repented. No one, I would have never heard anyone say, I'm sorry that I repented. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. Make restitution. You can do that this morning. I think it's Zacchaeus who said, I've given back fourfold to all those same people that I've wronged. Be sorry for your sins. Repent. Repent. Well, the Bible tells us, I'll move on here. The Bible tells us that that we repent and we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I know that I'm going too quickly here. I know that there's a lot that could be said here, but that white robe this morning that it talks about in Revelation there that we talked about, it says those that have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross to make an atonement for the sins of man. To make an atonement. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And this morning, if you're not going to believe on the blood of Jesus Christ, what are you going to do with sin? What are you going to do with the sins that are past? For the remission of sins that are past, what are you going to do? How are you going to stand before God with those sins hanging over you? How will you ever be free from your sin if you don't give them to Jesus Christ? But don't tell me this morning that someday you're expecting to get into heaven, but you never would deal with your sin. Don't tell me this morning that you have hope of heaven when there's unrepentant darkness and blackness going on in your life, the things that you do in secret. The things that you hide from other people, all the while that you put on a pretense of religion and you go to church and you make everybody pretend that everything's okay. You're not preparing for heaven. Those that are preparing for heaven are putting on a white robe. They're washing themselves in the blood of the Lamb. Some men's sins go beforehand to judgment. Some men's sins follow after. I'm going to read here some scriptures. Bible tells us in 1 John. The Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I take that to mean this morning that if we humble ourselves before the God of heaven, we confess our sins, we repent of those sins, and He is faithful and just to wipe it clean and take them all away. That's what the Bible says this morning. The Bible says here that He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So it includes each one of us this morning, the sins of the whole world. It's called being born again. It's called a new birth. We'll look at some more scriptures here this morning. It's called a new birth. Part of that believing in Jesus Christ is being baptized. Giving yourself to a baptism, being baptized into Him. Part of believing in Jesus Christ is obedience. It's humbling ourselves before Him allowing Him to have the throne in our heart. I'm going to look here at a scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, a very precious scripture here. And when, as we talk about a new birth, we talk about being born again. Being born again. I love this scripture. It's been precious to me. This is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And again, in Hebrews chapter 8, the Bible tells us here, that's quoting from Ezekiel chapter 36, and the Bible tells us there that I will give them a new heart. I will put a new spirit in them. And that's what we need. I think of that. I just think it's a new heart, a new spirit. So if you're here this morning and if you're listening this morning and you don't, and you're thinking that, well, that's not me. I don't love God. I don't know that I love God. I have sin and I don't know what to do with. The Bible is telling us that God is willing by His Spirit to put a new spirit in us and a new heart. Give us a new heart that has new desires, a new, let me give you this illustration. There was a time in the Garden of Eden, there was a time before the fall of man that Adam, our first father, was in the garden there. And he had unbroken fellowship with God. He could just fellowship with God. He loved God. He was doing the will of God. He did what he did because of God. His life was about God. That's what he was living for. That's what he lived for. That's what he was doing in the garden. He was created for that. He was created to love God. He was created to serve God, and that's what he was doing. But after sin came, and we know the story, we know the account. But after sin came, we see something greatly different. We see God coming to the garden. We see God coming to the garden. We see God saying, Adam, where are you? Suddenly Adam was hiding from God. Suddenly Adam, there's something had drastically changed. And I know that we can't, I believe that it is hard for us. Though we are restored in fellowship to God, it's hard for us to comprehend the drastic results of the fall. And so we live in a world where everyone has fallen, and we think this is normal. We think this is normal for man to live in sin and just to please his flesh and to do whatever he wants to do, and the consequences are devastating. Adam was hiding. And maybe you can relate to that this morning. Maybe there's something that when you sit under a preaching of the Word of God, there's something in you that wants to hide. There's something you just wants to get away from here. Well, I'd like to tell you this morning that can change. Jesus Christ, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, He is willing to put His Spirit in you and restore the fellowship that Adam had. Restore that fellowship and put in you a desire to please God and to love God. And though in some ways it's progressive, yet I believe this morning that the many times we have too many people that are trying to be Christians, but the axe has never been laid to the root, and that sin nature has never been dealt a death blow, and that new spirit put within. And I'd like to just say this morning that when that changes, the Bible tells us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. There becomes in us. Now that thing that Brother Solomon was talking about this morning, that great fear of the coronavirus, and you see everyone's wearing masks and gloves. But when that new spirit is put in us, there's a hatred for sin that happens. There's a desire to please God. And when that changes in us, it gives us enough of a hatred for sin that we can overcome it. And that's the heart and desire for God. I'm not telling you this morning that it all happens at once. But there's a seeking after, and there's a heart and a desire after the things of God, and the Spirit of God continually works in the heart, and we don't struggle with the same sins year after year after year, never making any progress, never going anywhere. That's not the will of God. Fellowship restored, a heart that wants to longs to please God, put in us. I'd like to give us a quote this morning. A quote. A quote from the Dordrecht Confession of Faith. Oh, it's precious to me. I love this. I can't say it any better than this. We believe and confess that as the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth and consequently inclined to all unrighteousness, sin, and wickedness, that therefore the first doctrine of the precious New Testament of the Son of God is repentance and amendment of life. Therefore, those who have ears to hear and hearts to understand must bring forth fruits meet for repentance, amend their lives, believe the gospel, depart from evil and do good, desist from wrong and cease from sinning, put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. For neither baptism, sacrament, nor church fellowship, nor any other external ceremony can, without faith, the new birth and a change or renewal of life help or qualify us that we may please God or receive any consolation or promise of salvation from Him. But on the contrary, we must go to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith and believe in Jesus Christ as the Scriptures speak and testify of Him, through which faith we obtain pardon from our sins, become sanctified, justified, and children of God. Yea, partakers of His mind, nature, and image, as we are born again of God through His incorruptible seed from above. Alleluia. The new birth. We need to be born again. Born the second time. The Spirit of God birthed in us that makes us a new creature. Thirdly, this morning, I'd like to talk about abiding in Him. If we want to have hope of heaven, we must abide in Christ. The Bible tells us in Peter, sobering words here. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter, the Bible tells us that it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to depart from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned again to his own vomit, and the sow that was washed are wallowing in the mire. There's a need. There's a great need, and this is part of the gospel, abiding in Him. That Spirit that's birthed in us, the Bible tells us, grieve not the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us, quench not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will lead us into obedience. The Spirit of God will lead us into fruitfulness. It will lead us into a new and holy living. But the Spirit of God dwelling in us will lead us into paths of righteousness that we didn't know before. But it tells us here that it would have been better. That it would have been better to have been a heathen in some remote island and never hear the gospel. Not even one time. It would have been better not to have heard the gospel even one time than after you have heard the gospel and received it to return again to the sin and wickedness and to move away from the gospel and to move back and just to depart and to go back to the old life. We have a couple of quotes here yet, and a scripture. There is required patience. Here's a quote. There's a required patience on our part till the summer fruit of heaven be ripe for us. It is in the bud, but there are many things to do before our harvest comes, and we can hardly endure to set our paper face to one of Christ's storms and to go to heaven with wet feet. We love to carry a heaven to heaven with us and would have two summers in one year and no less than two heavens. But this will not do for us. For one may suffice us well enough. Christ had but one, and will we have two? Salvation is the only necessary thing. This clay idol, the world, is not to be sought. Contend for salvation. Your master, Christ, won heaven with strokes. It is a besieged castle. It must be taken with violence. Oh, this world thinks that heaven is next door and that godliness sleeps in a bed of down till it comes to heaven, but that will not do it. Abiding in him. And I think of the difficulties that we're facing, though some of us, for some of us, worse than others, maybe. There's a call to abide in Christ, to be faithful, to endure. The Bible says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. But oh, I plead with us this morning that you're not going to endure till the end if you've never began. You're not going to run the race if you've never started. And we just lay that out here before you. I have a scripture here that I will close with, and I'm thankful for the Lord here today and his word, but I have a scripture here that I'd like to close with. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. For if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. I know this morning after a message like this, maybe your heart is trembling. But everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Everyone that is seeking after righteousness, everyone whose heart, passion, and desire to please God and to love God, if that's your heart, you're born of him. That's the work of the Spirit of God. That's what the Spirit of God does in us. And it says here that we should not be ashamed before him at his coming. I think of the scripture in Hebrews that we're reading. The Bible says here that God is not ashamed to call them his people. And here it says we are not ashamed before him at his coming. May we live a life unashamed. Let's not be ashamed. Let's not be ashamed of Christ. Let's not be ashamed of his word and following him in obedience. God bless you. This morning is my prayer. It is my prayer for each one of you, and myself included, and my family, and my home. It is my prayer that we would let nothing get in the way of our pursuit of heaven, the home of the soul, eternal. A city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God bless you.